hearts are filled with joy. Because this is a celebration, God, of the day that you gave your spirit to the church, to us. And God, we just want to praise you and thank you today. And Father, we just, our hearts are open. We just want to receive everything that you have for us today, Father. And God, I just pray if there's any kind of walls, any kinds of things that are holding us back, Father, that you will just, you'll just take those right now, God. Take them out. Help us to hear you. God, we want to hear you. Through the words of the different people that will be speaking, Father, we want to hear you.
Yes, Jesus.
And so, God, we just, we bow before you because we love you, and we just want to praise your name. And we want to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Amen. Wow.
Thank you, God. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is in this place. And God leads and God directs and God speaks. And what an amazing gift it is that God sent us his Holy Spirit. Don't you agree?
Indeed.
Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. He has sent his Spirit so that... the church can have power so that we can be building the kingdom of God, that he includes us in the building of his kingdom, and that means every single part, every one of you, every one of us joining together and demanding unity, demanding it no matter what, no matter how hard it is, demanding that we stand together, demanding that we stand on God's word, and that we will not let disunity divide us. We will not allow the enemy, amen, to breed those seeds of discord. Amen. Thank you, God. I'm so glad and privileged to be able to worship with you today. And I'm just so thankful for what God's doing. We want to remember Jim Keekster's family. It's good that you guys are here. I didn't know you were going to be here. We're going to pray for you in a minute. A couple of other just quick announcements. We're still looking for camp volunteers for Larry Keekster's camp, the one that's in Alberta. We need volunteers for people who can cook and people who can swim. If you can swim or be a lifeguard, come and see me afterwards. Or if you're interested in cooking, this is in August. We're looking for people. Maybe even if you just take a week, even if you just take a day or take a meal. Just kidding about that. Take a week. But we're looking for people who will be interested in that. And the other thing is we're really trying to do a vacation Bible school this year. We need some help with that. No one came up to me last week saying, yeah, I want to do this. I hope you get that in your heart. There's an opportunity to do that. And the third week in July, we need some volunteers. We need some people who are just going to be here and help with the kids. This could be a great tool to lead some children to Jesus Christ. Amen? So come and see me about that. Will you just join me in prayer before Russell comes up? We're going to pray. So God, thank you for everything that you do. I thank you for the bright sky today, the beautiful weather, but mostly for your Holy Spirit, and that in your amazing wisdom, you knew that we needed your Spirit, and you sent us your Spirit. And you've empowered your church to go into all the world. Thank you, God. I pray for a full evidence of the gifts of your Spirit in this body. And Lord, that there will be also full evidence that the fruit of your Spirit is in every single one of us. The love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and patience. And Lord, all of the gifts, all the fruit, let them be evidenced here. Thank you, God, for what you do. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I want to pray for the Keekster family today. We're grateful for the service that we really did enjoy on Friday night, that we could celebrate the faithfulness of Jim and his love for you and his dedication to your word. I pray that you'll continue to grant comfort to the family and to children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Be with Darren. We thank you, Lord. He's part of our church, and pray that you'll continue to just mend and bind his heart to yours, God. And I thank you that we had the privilege, and truly it was a privilege for more than a decade to enjoy the ministry and to walk alongside of Jim and Lorraine. And we don't take that lightly. Thank you, God, that you've honored us with that. We're grateful, Lord. We pray for the world situation, God. Again, we're just reminded of what's going on in Nigeria with Boko Haram and the terrible persecution that's happening in so many Christians' lives, and that 750,000 Christian Nigerians have been displaced from their homes and that thousands have lost their lives. God, we pray for justice. And we pray that your mercy will be swift, God, that these people need you. And forgive us for forgetting them. I pray, God, that you'll bring these things to our minds and our hearts. And we pray for Christians in Nigeria. We pray for not just Christians, but just people in Nigeria too, God. People who need you and people who are suffering. But also that you'd open their eyes to you and that there'd be a great turning to you throughout the world, Lord. We know that the reason why you sent your Spirit, the reason for Pentecost was for the harvest. You've made that so clear in your word, that we would have the power to go out and to bring in the harvest that is ready. That we would have the power of your Holy Spirit, the authority of your Holy Spirit to go out and to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That hallelujah, my God reigns. So let that message be on our lips, God, and not just in Red Deer, but throughout the world. I pray, God, we pray for your word today to bring back great fruit, that there will be hundreds of thousands of people who turn their lives to Jesus today. And sometimes it's because of a need in their life or a brokenness in their life. And Lord, that's how you work. Or sickness, bring people to you, God. We pray for this. We pray that your grace would draw and compel men and women and children just come and surrender their lives to you, God. And there may be even some people here today who haven't done that. And I thank you that those individuals are here. Lord, show them today that you're real. There's lots of people, God, they just want to know that you're real. And we believe that you make that known, that it is self-evident when you open our eyes. So, Holy Spirit, open everyone's eyes today and open our hearts so that we can approach you and know that you are the living God. You are Jesus, resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Amen. Amen. Russell, you want to come up? Russell's going to share. Bless you, bro. Which one do you want? Pick what you want. There's just, I'll help you. Yeah, there you go.
Good morning, all. Thank you very much for being forced into receiving me this morning by Pastor Stan. Oh, I praise and thank God for this opportunity. It's a precious, precious opportunity to be able to share God with others. I thank God for the one-on-one opportunities that I receive, and opportunities like this are also as awesome. I thank God for his word today. He spoke into my heart this morning that we're not to trust in men, but in him. And he says that all flesh is grass. I'm going to run down a squirrel trail here. I know my hair grows like grass. I tried to get it cut yesterday, and that plan didn't work out. You know what? The plans of men don't work out. And I'm glad for that. Because I want the plans of Jesus Christ in my life. I first received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, 8 days from now, it'll be 40 years ago, on June 16th, 1974. So if you go by that birthday, I'm getting really close to getting out of the desert. But it was 5 years later that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're celebrating today. That's what Acts, the book of Acts, tells us happened on Pentecost, that we received the Holy Spirit. And for me, that meant that I spoke and prayed and sang in the Spirit with unknown tongues and in English. And I stood up in church and gave messages in tongues and interpreted messages that were given in tongues and prophesied. And I teach from time to time to just about anybody that'll listen. So the Spirit of God is alive and active in my life. And yet, I can tell you that the desert is a real place for each and every one of us. But what I want to encourage you in today is that yeah, sometimes you're tripping over the sand dunes, but some days you're in the oasis too. And the water and the grass is beautiful, and life is beautiful. And God is so tremendous. His promises are true and sure. They lift us up every day. And no matter what level or you think you're in life, just remember that on that day that we cross over, we're all going to be on the same plane with Jesus. So enjoy the struggle, like me. And being crazy helps. If you get to know me, I'm about half crazy. And we haven't been here very long, but I can tell you that the Spirit of God has made me feel very comfortable amongst you. That means that He's very much present in you. And I hope to be your friend and colleague here for a long time to come. And my wife, Debbie, also down there. Amen. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, we look forward to getting to know you better. We're glad that you're here. And it's always confirmation to hear that the Spirit of the Lord is here. We know that, but it's good to hear that. It's good to hear people come and say, God's touching me, God's moving, God's speaking, God's guiding. And I could relate to everything you said, except for the part about the grass seed thing. Some of you had to think of that a little bit, huh? The Holy Spirit, you know, there's not a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit. We try to talk about the Holy Spirit quite a bit, and it's a perfect day to be talking about the Holy Spirit this Pentecost Sunday. And we have also, in different times, kind of acknowledged that we may not all agree. The church itself doesn't all agree on all the different theologies that surround the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves in the church. But there are some things we all do agree on, and one is that the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was given for harvest, like I prayed before. It's the Spirit came so that we could be empowered, so we could use gifts that we've been given for the sole purpose of winning souls for Jesus Christ, to seek after the lost. Amen? That it isn't really just, sometimes we get carried away with the thrill of the Spirit or the feeling of the Spirit. And there's things about that that are great, and I'm glad for that, but that's really not why the Holy Spirit has empowered the church. He's empowered the church so that we can get out there and do what He wants us to do, and that we can shine a light that no one else can shine but Christians, because we have Jesus in us. And it's, you know Russ, there's a lot of people who've experienced what you've experienced, that you didn't receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If we went through the room today, we've probably got all kinds of different experiences of how that went. Some people were filled with the Holy Spirit immediately. Some people were raised and just sort of adopted with the Holy Spirit in their lives. Others, there was a definite baptism and a change that happened in their lives. And you know what? We're just not going to fight about that. We've decided that. So we're not. It's not an issue. We're not going to fight about it. We're just going to be glad that we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And yeah. And recognizing, and I really believe we need to do this more, and God's been laying this on my heart, that more, we need more of the Spirit. Not more of the Spirit, because I think we have all of the Holy Spirit, but we need more of the Spirit moving and being unleashed as we carry out the vision and the dreams that God has for us in Red Deer. God's put us here for a reason. There's a reason why there's a potter's hands. Part of it is the kitchen where we can feed people, but like I said many times, if that's all we're doing is feeding people, it's just putting a Band-Aid on something that's never going to go away. Even Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to move in that power. And when we realize that power, we'll realize that there's great changes that are going to happen to people. We're seeing it already, but I believe that God has so much more of that and wants so much more, that we will be open to His Spirit, that we'll be the conduit that the Holy Spirit will flow through. I've used this analogy, just how I kind of think of the Holy Spirit sometimes, but it's, you got this big, huge fire hose, And it's just, you know, ready to be poured out from the church. The problem is we've got a spigot on the end of it. And we just, there's a little bit of dribbling going on, but it's not pouring out with the kind of power. Is there a lack of power? No, there's no lack of power. Is there a shortage of the Holy Spirit? There's no shortage of the Holy Spirit. The issue that we have is we need to learn to open it up so that the power can really pour out. And it's God's desire, I believe, and I just declare it today. It is God's desire that he wants us to uncork, you know, release, let God move through you. Every single one of you who has received Christ, everyone who considers himself a believer, you have gifts. Maybe it's administration, maybe it's evangelism, maybe it's faith, maybe it's giving, maybe it's teaching. You have gifts. And when you are not using those gifts, you're robbing us. You're robbing the body. You're robbing Jesus because he gave you those gifts to use them. And sometimes, you know, we go, well, I got this gift, but I'm only going to use it if I get to do it, you know, on my terms or in public, or it's got to be this or it's got to be that, then I'll do it. You know, that's not what God says. He says, you have these gifts, you find how you use them. Or you maybe you say, well, I'll use them, but someone's got to invite me. As soon as someone says, do this, then I'll do it. I don't think that's in the Bible either. You have gifts to use, you use them, you find a place, you find a way to use them. All right, that's the first sermon. As you know, we've been looking at the story of the lost sons. There's really two sons who were lost in that parable. The son goes away and he comes back. And the father, I love that image of the father waiting for his son to come home. And then he doesn't run until he sees his son. He doesn't get in God's way. He doesn't go and bail the son out and give him $20. I know you're having a hard time here, son. I'm just going to give you some money here. He doesn't run to the son until he sees the son coming home. Isn't that cool? When he sees the son coming home, he runs. He's gonna open his arms and that he welcomes his son as a son. And that's what we want to focus on today. He welcomes his son as a son and not as a slave. Even though the son returns back to the father willing to be a slave, right? That's the spiel that the son's been rehearsing. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired slaves or servants. And the father says, no, you are my son. You were my son when you left. You were my son all those years you were gone. You're still my son. You are not a slave. Amen. Today, we're going to do that as we read in Galatians chapter 4. And just, again, I'm trying to tie this into last week because I always think it's important that we have that continuum. We're talking about last week about the perfect timing of God. Anyone remember that besides me? Okay, there's two. Come on, you guys. There's this perfect timing of God, that God knows when things need to happen. God even knew the day that Jim Keekster would die. God knew that way before we ever knew it. God is never surprised. Never. God knows everything. And he is perfect in his timing. Sometimes we want to hurry him up. You know, heal me from my cancer. I'm not saying that was you, but there are lots of people who have cancer, and they go, well, come on, God, hurry this up. I don't want to be going through this whole thing. And God often says to us, just be patient, and I will show you my plan. God's timing is perfect, and we saw that last week as he waited, as the father waited for the son to return. The son returned exactly when he was supposed to return. Not a moment earlier, not a moment later. Even though that calf was getting fatter and fatter. Remember we talked about the calf? Right? It was that. It wasn't just a calf. It was that fattened calf. That calf was getting huge. But it's in God's perfect timing that the son returned. And we read again here now in Galatians chapter 4 about God's perfect timing. And I want to just read this for you. We're going to start reading in Galatians 3, verse 26. And here's what Paul writes, Galatians 3, it's on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? If you heard that, that's kind of what we're talking about today. It doesn't mean you need to tune out, you got to keep listening. But you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. And so also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because, get this now, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts. I'm going to repeat that. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You say amen? Isn't that a good word? That's such a good word. Paul often would present something to the different churches and the different letters that he was writing, like an analogy or an illustration. And so we got to start with the illustration because everything kind of hinges on this. It's all built on this illustration. And he's talking about a child. He says, as long as a child is an heir, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he's subject to guardians and trustees. He's talking about the situation, which was really quite common in the first century, where maybe a father wasn't around anymore, or sometimes they died earlier or younger. And sometimes a child who was born into wealth didn't have a dad to raise him, but there were guardians, there were trustees who took care of him. And what Paul's saying is that that child is very much like a slave until he reaches the age that his father appointed, when the time would fully come, when this child could take on the responsibilities of the estate. That child really was a slave. He had to be subservient to the trustee or to the guardian in his life. And like a slave, everything for that child, even though that child was wealthy. You got that? I mean, this is someone who's got lots of money. One day this child's going to be the master of the whole estate. But while he is still a child, he had to do what he's told. And like a slave, he had people over him telling him what to learn, you know, education, or what to wear, or what to eat. And that's, he says, well, that's how it was. He's comparing that to the law, and to the Spirit, okay? He says, that's what it was like for us when we lived under the law, and particularly the Jewish nation. He's talking to them. He said, in the Old Testament, the guardian that we had was the law. And it was just all these prescriptions. You do this, you do this, you don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. The guardian was a stone tablet. You get that? The guardian was a stone tablet. It was a bunch of rules that we could never keep. I mean, and that's a tragedy of it. We could never keep this law. We could never live it perfectly. And Paul's saying, well, that's the way it was before God's perfect timing kicked in. That's the way it was before God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, when the time had fully come. And no longer are you under that law. Now the guardian of your life is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's do that again. We can clap better now. We are led by the Holy Spirit. All right, good. I'm glad you think that's exciting, because it's very exciting, and it's something we need to just draw on and understand today. So there's some things I want to say about that. I want to start with the rights of sons, that what God's word says today is that when the time had fully come, there's two R words. We were redeemed and we received, We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we become a son of the living God. Amen? We're redeemed by the blood. We ask Jesus into our heart. We surrender our lives to him, and that's where that redemption comes from. The second part of that statement, he says, and we have received the full rights of sons. And one of the rights of sons is that we receive the same Spirit that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, right? So here's the first thing that God's word wants us to understand. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. It is because you are sons that you have the Holy Spirit in you. And it is a right. Have you thought of it that way before? That the Holy Spirit in our lives is, it's a right that we have because I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. I am living because He is living. The Holy Spirit is a right that God has given to me whenever I give my life to Him. He says, I'm going to endow you with the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 8, right? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now reigns in you, right? Amen. That Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit reigns in me, and it's my right, which means, it means I can ask for Him. And let's understand this. I can't talk about this too long, but the Holy Spirit is a Him. You're not an it, not a feeling, not a breeze. It's a Him. He's a Him. Read John 14, read John 16. Over and over again, He talks about the Holy Spirit as a person. When He teaches you, when He guides you, when He comforts you in all things. He's a He, okay? I have the right to ask, because I'm not a slave, I'm a son. See, slaves can't ask anything. Slaves just do what they're told. When I was a slave to the law, I just had to keep the law perfectly and I couldn't do it. But now that I am a son of God, I can ask God for the Holy Spirit to be inside of me. And it's a right, okay? Now, let's be careful here. It is not a right that I demand. It's a right that I ask. The Bible says we should ask God. But we should be careful not to make demands of our God, because He's God. And let me make this clear too, that you know, you don't really need to tell God that you are His son. He knows it, okay? When it comes to the rights, your rights of having the Holy Spirit in you, God already knows that. You don't need to make your case with God. But oftentimes, we need to talk about our rights as sons more for ourselves and for the enemy who wars against us. Because there's an enemy, and he's the one you can make some demands of. You can say to him, enemy, let me tell you something. I am a child of the one true King. Let me tell you something. Even though you tell me I am unworthy, you tell me I don't add up, you tell me that I am lost and I'm condemned, it isn't what God tells me, and it isn't what His Word says. And even though, Satan, you are an accuser, and we stand in this courtroom sometimes, and you accuse me, and you say that I am not a son of God, God's Word says, I am a son of God. Amen? So you don't need to, I don't think we need to remind God of this. God knows. Sometimes we need to remind the enemy. Even more often, though, I got to remind myself. Right? Stan, you belong to God. You've been set apart. I've been baptized. I belong. I am a son. And all those things you feel sometimes, they're not true. I stand on the Word of God, not on my feelings. And understand today that the Holy Spirit who lives in you is yours by right, but He is not necessarily yours by feeling. I've talked to lots of people who say, well, I just don't feel like I have the Holy Spirit. Used to have Him. Don't have Him anymore. Don't know where He went. I don't feel it. I don't feel that bubbly. I don't feel that amazing joy. You know, I had this some crazy great experiences before. I guess the Holy Spirit has left me. I'm going to tell you, God's Word says this, that if you are a son of God, you have the right to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God doesn't leave the sons of God. He doesn't. And it isn't about your feelings. It isn't about how I feel or how warm and fuzzy I am. Nor is it about that I need to conjure up the Holy Spirit, which we also try to do sometimes, thinking, I got to get stirred up here. You know, like a football guy, so banging on each other, ready to go and trying to get the Holy Spirit to do something. We don't need to do that. We don't. here's what God's word teaches, and you need to know this. God's word teaches that if you are a daughter of the King, if you're a son of the Father, you have the Holy Spirit. You may experience a burst of Him. You may experience a whole baptism of Him sometime in your life. It may happen at the moment that you're converted. All that stuff isn't important. But what's important is you have this right. And the right is that as a son of God, as a son of God, God has put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So, if that's true, we should be able to ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself, right? As children, like my kids, my sons, they can ask me. Slaves might not be able to ask, but my sons can ask me. So I'm going to stop right now. Elvin, would you just stand up? I know you're not ready for this. It doesn't matter. I want you to pray. We're going to have this happen a couple times this morning. I would like you to pray that we just ask, because we can ask. As sons of God, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Would you pray that? Thank you, God. Yes. Yes, God. Amen. Yes. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Now, don't think we're done. We're not done. Just because we stop and pray a couple times, that just means we're applying the Word of God. And if God says that we can ask for the Holy Spirit, that's what we're doing. We're going to just ask. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. This church, we need the Spirit to lead us in whatever direction He wants. And as individuals, each one of us, we need to keep praying for the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance and the direction and the teaching that we need. Let me just share from Romans 8. I want to just touch on this a second. Almost echo words to what Paul wrote to the Galatians when he says this: if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, that by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You know what that means? It means we don't need to be afraid. If you are truly a son of God or a daughter of God, you do not need to be afraid. He does not give us a spirit of fear, but He gives us a spirit of sonship. Right? I don't need to be afraid of the enemy. I don't need to be afraid of that cancer. I don't need to be afraid that I lost my job. I don't need to be afraid of whatever gets thrown at me, because I am a son of the one true King. Amen. You know, I run into a lot of people and have coffee and talk and hear about fears over and over again. And they're real. They seem very real in our lives, and I get that. And I know that there's things sometimes that really terrorize us, and they war against us. And, you know, sometimes it's totally fears that are they make no sense. They're not grounded. People are afraid of their kids. They're afraid of death. Or they're afraid of what might happen, and there's nothing substantial there to even think that. And I know that some of you, I know this, you're afraid. You're afraid to fall back maybe into that same addiction again. And I understand all that, but I got to tell you this on the basis of God's word today. Hear God speaking that you are a son of God, and you don't need to be afraid, because He has given you not a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of sonship. And Tola, would you stand up and pray against, right now, would you stand up and pray against the fears that the enemy breeds into us? And thank God that by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, I know, I'm putting you on the spot. I don't care. We're going to do this. Oh, just pray against fear. Pray loudly to God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. That's right. That's right. Let's drive out the enemy, God. Drive out the enemy, Jesus. And all the people said, woo! Amen. You are no longer to be a slave to fear. Because God calls you a son or a daughter. He says, and I have driven that fear out of you. You don't need to be afraid of failure. You don't need to be afraid of the enemy or the future or the past that might catch up to you. You don't need to be afraid. Amen? That's the right, okay? That's the right that you have as a son of God. And I could talk about that more and more and more, but I want to move on to another thing, and that is the cry of a son. So we talk about the rights of the son. The cry of the son is also really important. Even though I just said that it's not about feeling and the Holy Spirit isn't about all the bubbling all the time, here's kind of the good news, though, is that oftentimes still, it may not be the things that qualifies whether the Spirit of God is in my life, but aren't you glad and aren't you thankful that the Spirit of God still moves inside of you and that there is still feeling and there is still joy of the Lord inside of you when God touches you? Isn't that a great thing? Thank you, God, that you have the joy of the Lord, that you have the peace that God gives, the peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, I know that it's not, it isn't pivotal, it doesn't hang on my feelings, but I'm sure thankful that there are feelings, and I can say, God, I want to just rejoice in you. I rejoice in you, God. You fill my heart. And I cry out, Abba. And that's what he's saying. We cry out, Abba, Father. There's something about that word, Abba, and it's an Aramaic word, and it's a term of endearment, and it's the term that a little child would spontaneously say to his dad, just, Abba. It's not a cry of fear. Mommy is a cry of fear. I think. Abba is a cry of endearment and intimacy. It's the same cry that Jesus cried on the cross, or before the cross in Gethsemane, when he said, Abba, Abba, Father, take this cup from me. It's that love. You know, when you say Abba, you're talking about love. I love my Abba. It's a personal name. My daddy, my papa. And I just want to make a point of it, that we feel that. We know it, that there's the fruit also of the Spirit, and in the fruit of the Spirit there is joy and peace and love and all the other things that we cry out, that the Spirit of God in me cries out, Abba, Father. I have to cry out to him. I have to worship him. Did you see how we worship today? There was a cry that just stirred and generated from our hearts, and we were crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. And I have that personal relationship with you, Father, through Jesus. And I have the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living in me. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God. Yeah, thank God. That he, by his Spirit, moves my heart to worship him. And if you're finding yourself crying out to him, and you got Abba flowing from you. It might sound like you're speaking in tongues, Abba, 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 Abba. That's okay. It might be that you're just saying, Abba, my daddy, my father. And you can worship him and know that he loves you and that you're his. Okay, so there's the right of the sons, there's the cry of the sons. And I just want to kind of end today with the guardianship thing again, because we've got to go back to that analogy and understand, I want you to understand this as we leave today, that the guardian now in your life, the guardian in my life, is no longer the law. It's no longer that stone tablet. It's not the do not, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. That is not what governs my life anymore. What governs my life is the guardianship of the Spirit of God who lives in me. Amen? That's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying that it isn't just for the Jews now anymore. You read that with me, the first part of that, right? That it's not male or female or Jew or Gentile. It's not circumcised or uncircumcised. It is whoever belongs, whoever believes in me, whoever has been baptized into me, you are filled with my Holy Spirit, and you now will be guided by the Spirit of God. Amen. Yeah. The guardian, the trustee in my life is the Holy Spirit. And I'm learning what that looks like. I don't know that I'm there yet. I'm learning. A lot of this, I never learned in seminary. I didn't learn it. I'm learning some of it now. It's okay. We've got to keep learning. But here's what God's, this is Pauline theology. It's hard unless you start dissecting it and you realize that what he's really saying is you're going to be guided. This Holy Spirit will be your guide. It isn't the law that will guide you. It isn't legalism or religion that will guide you. But it is the Spirit of God who lives in you. He lives in you. So listen to him. Listen to his voice. Listen. Because he's your teacher. If you read, we don't have time to do it today, but if you read in John 14 and 16, you can do that. The Gospel of John, read that when you get home this afternoon. You'll hear and you'll read what it is to have the Holy Spirit as the guardian of your life. The one who now lives in my heart is the Holy Spirit. And John talks about the Holy Spirit as the one who will teach you. He's a counselor. He will teach you all things, he says. That's a great thing. He says that the Holy Spirit is an encourager. How many need to be encouraged from time to time? Seven of us. No more. Right? Well, you know where that encouragement comes from? It's from the Holy Spirit. I've got to tell you, that's been in my life lately. Sometimes I've been discouraged, and you go, what's going on, Lord? I don't get it, and I'm trying so hard, and I try so hard, sometimes I do this, but it doesn't help. Right? You can make your blood pressure rise, but you can't change people's lives. But God encourages me, and there's a word in my heart. And he reminds me of that passage in the Old Testament so often where he says, I'm standing right behind you, and you can look to the left and the right, and I will teach you, and I'll tell you which way to go. He's that kind of an encourager. Know this, that the God who is the guide of your life, the Holy Spirit, wants to encourage you. He wants to tell you that he loves you. He's got a plan for you. He does. He's got something he wants you to do, and you should ask him what it is because he knows, honestly. Yeah. He's a guide. He's a teacher. He's an encourager. He is also a convictor. In John, again, it says that he will convict the world of guilt. Sometimes we just need to fall on our knees when the Holy Spirit brings us under his conviction. And I pray, as I know you do, that this world would fall to its knees and proclaim Jesus Christ. Because we're living so apart from him. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt. We need that conviction. We need to learn to live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants you to do things, to say things, right? He wants you to trust him. There's a conviction there. He wants you to speak the name of Jesus to someone that's at school with you. The Holy Spirit puts us under a conviction sometimes. He says, you know, what you did then, not so good. You might want to not do that again. You might want to just change your tactic, how you talk to people, or what you said when you shouldn't have said anything. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul means when he says that the Holy Spirit is going to be your guide or your trustee. There's conviction involved. There's revelation involved. I love this. that the Holy Spirit who lives in me reveals the heart of God the Father, that the Holy Spirit opens my eyes. And that's partly why Alvin prayed, so that the eyes of this church and the eyes of us as individuals will be open, because God wants to do so much. But if we're doing this and we keep our eyes closed, or we're doing this because we think we know it all, He'll never be able to lead us where He wants us to go. God is a God of revelation. I experienced this, if I can give you this little bit of a story, in my own life, even as I preach. And people say to me, boy, what you said, that was just, I get this often, they'll say, that was something I really needed to hear, or that was a verse I just read, or man, I just looked at that this morning, and that is not, this is a big surprise, that is not because I am such a wonderful pastor or preacher. I got nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Everything to do with the fact that the Holy Spirit reveals. And when you're hearing something from God, whether it's through me or through Russell or through the music or others, that's God's Spirit who reveals to your heart what God's Spirit wants you to know. So know that as well, that this Holy Spirit has come to reveal the will of God to you. And sometimes that's just as plain and simple as you going to your neighbor and saying, you know, I don't know you very well, but I want to get to know you, and I want you to know that anything you need, I want to help you with. And eventually I want to talk to you about my Lord Jesus, because you need to know about Him. That's the conviction, that's the guidance, and that's the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Thank you that we no longer live as slaves to fear. We also no longer live as slaves to the law, because when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. This is the best news, you know, you're ever going to hear. You have received the full rights of sons. Years ago, as my kids started getting older, and we have 5 sons, as they would go older, they all went off to university, and many times, often, Crystal and I would pray with them around the kitchen table and put our hands on them, and we would send them off again. And I remember, you know, doing that for Kyle and Jabin and Seth and Kame. By the way, his name is Kame. Someone said this week, how come you named your kid Kane? Kind of a pastor would do. His name is not Cain. It's C-H-A-I-M. Kame. Kamey. Okay? Means life. So Micaiah, we laid our hands on and we would pray for them. And then, you know, they'd have their cars packed full of stuff. And we'd give them a big hug. And I always would say to them, just 4 words. Remember who you are. I didn't talk to them about, you know, don't go out and get drunk and be careful of loose women. And, you know, didn't give them the whole spiel, although there's part of me that wanted to. I wanted to give them 10 commandments, right? I wanted to hear, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Study, be careful, don't drive too fast, don't drink. But it was, I know they wouldn't have heard that. So it was always the same thing. And even with Cain today, like a couple weeks ago, we prayed for him. Right now, he's flying off to Russia. He's an athlete. He's playing in an event out there. And we prayed for him. And all I can say to him, son, is he's 28 years old now. Remember who you are. And that is exactly what God is saying to us. Remember who you are, Rob. That's all God's saying. You are a son of God. You are someone who is filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You are a gifted preacher and healer. You are a child of the one true King. You are a beautiful daughter of King Jesus. Remember who you are. Remember that you belong to me. We live in a world, you know, there's people trying to find themselves. We hear that all the time. That started back in the 50s or 60s. You know, I got to go find myself. And so we tried LSD and drugs and traveling through Europe. You know, I got to go find myself. Like, that was such a hard thing to do, you know. People go to counselors. No offense. I know we need good counselors. Thank God we have good counselors, Cheryl. But, you know, people go going to try to find who am I? Who am I? I got to find who I am. And they'll try drugs, and they'll try the latest diet, or they'll try the latest gym thing. Got to try to find who I am. Well, let me tell you something. I know who I am. I am a child of the one true King. And I am a son of God, and I know who I am. Remember who you are. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here right now, and you've been convicting us and encouraging us. And I thank you that you live in our hearts. Wow, what a treasure. You live in our hearts. We listen to you. Open our ears today. Even though you're in our hearts, we don't always listen. Even though you guide and lead us, we don't always have our eyes open. So we pray in the name of Jesus, and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has earned us this right, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead this church and that you would lead us, that you would make us men of God and women of God, that we would be completely committed to you and to building your kingdom, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, and we invite you to move here and to lead us and to direct us in your ways. I pray that you'll break down our agendas, break down the religion that sometimes hinders us, break down, God, anything that builds a wall between that personal relationship that we have with you, and we ask that you would lead us by the power of your Spirit, by the authority and by the power that you've given us. You're the one, Jesus, you said that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, and that you've inferred that authority upon us to go out and to make disciples of all nations. Thank you for that authority. We take it and we humbly follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us, Spirit of God, wherever you choose. Amen. Amen. I want to just ask before we're going to do a final song, but I think there's a few people here that just need some special prayer. If you're feeling that in your life, you're feeling that something, maybe you're afraid. Maybe there's some part of this that touched you today. Maybe God's calling you back and you know that you need revival, that you've been wandering away from Him and you haven't been going to church or you haven't been praying. Stop hiding it. You can't hide this. You can run, but you can't hide. If you need prayer, I want to just, I'm not going to make you come front. I'm not going to make you speak, or we're not going to quickly baptize you or do anything like that. I just want you to stand so I can pray for you. If you have a special need today, would you stand? There you go. You can just stand right where you're at. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if there's someone that's around you who can just put their hand on you, that'd be fine. Or if you see someone that you feel you can reach your hand out to them. We need to minister to each other. One of the great things about the Holy Spirit is that we have the privilege of being able to minister and to care. Amen? So if you want to minister to someone today, you want to put your hand on them and just to pray. I know that there's lots of needs here. Carrie, I understand your needs too, and we're remembering you. And Donnie, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So, Lord, we're here, and we need you. We cry out to you. We cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, take away everything, Lord, that is not of you. Remove our stubbornness. Remove our hard hearts. Remove the addiction, maybe, or whatever it is, God. And I'm tired of guessing. I don't need to guess because you know everything, Lord. You know it all. We just want to pray for these people, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to empower and to strengthen and to guide and to encourage and to convict. And I thank you that because we are sons and because we're daughters, we can come to you. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for the hurt here and the fear here. In the name of Jesus, that you'll remove those fears. There are some people here, God, I know that they have been dominated by the fear of the enemy, They've been dominated by the voice of the accuser. And we would ask together, we join together our hearts and our faith, and we pray in the powerful name of Jesus that that voice would be silenced, that there would be no more accusations, and that we will stand in our rightful place as sons of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You keep praying. Don't stop praying. Thank you, God. Crystal, can you find my glasses? It's right there by my Bible. Isn't God good? Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, found in that desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
And stand.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, when the sun is shining down on me, the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, your name. Though heart is suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lord bless you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Sons and daughters of God.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty, so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Oh, that you would bear.
This is amazing grace.